The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
And so it begins the 2 o'clock hour with Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. 2 o'clock hour is brought to you by Roof It Forward.
I have a working roof.
Let's start with our headlines brought to you by... the hell with it. Headlines are delivered to you by our very own Extra 106.3 FM, Chuck. Atlanta's only conservative news and talk station in the home for Fox News, Neil Bortz, The Kimmer, Clay Travis, and The Morning Extra with Tug, Rhino, and Carlos. Make sure to download the Extra app. That's X-T-R-A.
Everything you said.
Indeed. Headline, the NFL is rigged. All right, everybody have a great day. That's it. According to the folks in Cincinnati, the league is rigged. According to those who think the Super Bowl is scripted at the beginning of the year, it's rigged. Now, back in reality, Super Bowl 57 is set. Eagles and Chiefs in Glendale. Good to see the Eagle fans keeping it classy. That video that popped yesterday before the game of a couple of Philadelphians trying to tweet Joey Bosa. And Joey, you walked into a trap and you gave them ammunition. You can't fight those people. Here's what I would tell you if you're Joey Bosa. If you go to the zoo, right, and the monkeys are throwing poo at you, and you throw poo back, you're just as bad as the animals in the cage. For those who didn't see it, some guy with a camera and, you know, taking video of Joey Bosa starts chanting his name. Then Joey responds with something like, "I'm richer than you." Then the hooligan yells, "I'm rich too." And it just went round and round and round. So that was the Philadelphia pregame. During the game, we were robbed. Once Brock Purdy went down, we had to sit through 2.5 hours of a team that didn't have a quarterback. Apologies to Josh Johnson, who then got concussed and literally, never watched this in the playoffs before, a team didn't have a quarterback.
Could have gotten to halftime. They could have gotten to the end of the round. Do you agree?
At 14-7 instead of 21-7?
Yes.
Wouldn't
have
changed anything.
Could have gotten to the end of the round, though. Get me to the stool.
I mean, if you can't throw the ball, and so Purdy came back in.
And at halftime, you literally, it's like, they say no half adjustments. I don't understand that. But yeah. Look, what are the three things you do well?
Doesn't
what
matter.
Are the three routes we're going to work on?
Purdy said after the game, he's like, "I couldn't throw it 5 or 10 yards. They threw one screen, and I saw the screaming pain." He actually went to Shanahan and went, "I can't throw." And for Shanny, which this is penance for what he did here, right? I mean, he's been paying this every year. No team gets hurt more than the Niners. Bad luck, whatever you want to call it.
Clustered at one spot.
So for Shanny, who wants to dial up all his stuff, he gave up because he had no... They were running the ball down 3 touchdowns, and I don't blame them. They could not do... At one point, they tried to throw with McCaffrey. Little halfback pass. Then they ran double reverses. They were trying to do anything they could. It was playing against somebody with their hands tied behind their back. Mm-hmm. It reminded me of watching my kid play fourth grade football with the other team who just doesn't have a quarterback. And for Shanny, that's got to kill him that he just had to tap out in the third quarter of the NFC title game.
Purdy was their third different starter this year?
He was.
Okay.
So Josh Johnson would have been their fourth stringer.
When you get to the fourth quarterback, then you're hamstrung, especially at that level. Yeah, there were no more right answers at that point. It turned into, like, despite the severity of the situation, I guess is what I'm saying, that you were already at your third teamer going into an NFC championship game, and everybody was, despite the severity of the situation, do you know what at the root is? We've said this for years. We've talked about it. Your only chance to play defense in modern football is to hit the hell out of the quarterback. And Philadelphia this year was historical. They were really close to the 85 Bears as far as sacks. And this is what it came down to. And even yesterday, they got a hit on the quarterback, and it ended the game. It was over at that point. And it still is the bottom line. You get your pass defense from your pass rush.
I am hoping.
And by the way, all that's important is the Falcons do it worse than anybody in the league.
I am hoping what happened to the Niners yesterday reengages the conversation about why we don't have all 53 who are on a roster eligible on game day. Nobody's ever explained to me what the downside is because they're getting paid already. Game day check wouldn't change all that much. And the reason I bring this up, I'm going to give you a random Falcon Niner game. This is back in 1991. Joe Montana gets hurt. Steve Young comes in. Steve Young got hurt. Steve Bono came in. And if it not for a Hail Mary from Billy Joe Tolliver to Michael Haynes, Steve Bono scores and leads the Niners on a winning drive. I don't, especially in the playoffs, why wouldn't we allow teams to have a third quarterback up? What's the downside to it instead of having to watch one of the three most important games of the NFL season yesterday with a team who didn't have a quarterback?
As teams have narrowed either the size of rosters or leagues, et cetera, or roles have become so specialized that you can't carry an extra whatever. Think about what's been eliminated on rosters. A third catcher was a normal thing. Go look at any major league box score from 1985 or 1989 or 1995, probably even. There was always a third catcher on the active roster. You just did it. Same thing. Go look at an NFL box score. Anybody from week three in 1992, both teams had a third quarterback who was on the roster that, but you want to narrow more, and I want a slot receiver, and I want an extra corner.
Chuck, it's the only sport that has the full roster that we can't use on game day.
I know.
In the most rigorous, awful of sports. And think about this, folks. If the...
Didn't they used to have the third guy that you could put in the game, but that meant neither of the first two guys?
That was a rule for
the emergency third quarterback.
Well, yesterday, Shanny would have taken it. But think about what happened after Mahomes gets pushed out of bounds late. It sets up the winning field goal. If that doesn't happen, you know that game would have introduced the new overtime rule that in the postseason they changed the overtime rule to say you both get the shot with the ball no matter what happens on the first one. So in the postseason, Rich McKay and the competition committee, so that never happens again. And you might say, well, Matt, it's one in a million. It happened yesterday. Let's make 53-man rosters all available on playoff game days so teams can feel comfortable going with a third quarterback as a just-in-case, as the worst-case scenario, because the Niner fans sat through 2.5 hours, and we all did yesterday, with a game that we knew was over in the third, one of the three most important games of the year. That sucks.
I can't even remember the last time we even referenced this, but Matt's right. I don't know when it got taken away. There was a window recently where NFL teams on Sunday, you could declare your, quote, emergency quarterback. And if he went in the game, the only stipulation was neither the first two guys could re-enter the game. And so basically, he's the guy that stood there and really was the emergency. And they took it away at some point.
2020, the NFL teams
go back
to get rid of that. To have a 46th active player and not have it designated to be an emergency.
Yeah, so what was yesterday? It was an emergency. Yesterday was the picture of an emergency for the 49ers.
That's how T.J. Yates got a little bit of a career.
It's a good gig if you can get it. Sad news. You see who announced their retirement today?
Who that?
Darren O'Day. You know what that means?
Oh, we still have 2 years and a month before we can play the interview.
The Darren O'Day mustache tease that I gave in 2020... now goes out the window. What do? He's retired. Announced it on social media.
Wait a minute. That would have been 2019.
So we missed it by a year.
Well, we can still replay it.
I just don't know if it'll have the same oomph now that he's retired.
No, well, if you tease, you have to do what? Pay off the tease.
You got to pay it off. You're not
wrong.
Yeah,
so 2019, Matt said, coming up in 5 years.
It's the deepest, longest tease I've ever given. And I go, okay.
It better be a hell of an interview.
So I did it. It wasn't that game-changing, but you wait 5 years, you got to play it at that point. The Georgia news, couple of things. You guys know about Stetson by now. There's nothing new that we can add because nothing new has come out. Todd Monken interviewed with Baltimore last week very quietly. Like, that came out after that Monken interviewed with the Ravens. Now he's reportedly going to interview with the Bucs, but I've heard conflicting stories on that. So we'll wait and see if that's going to happen. But if nothing else, Todd Monken is right now setting up for a nice raise, even if nothing comes of it or he's not even. You always interview in these guys are smart to always interview, and he's making $2 million. Is this good for a $500,000 raise, $750,000 raise? Figure it out. Get whatever
ring,
he wants.
Ring. And I'm going to say this a little tongue-in-cheek, but not really. With Todd Monken, there is less of the you're upsetting the close bond you've formed with these recruits while you've dogged them in the halls of their high school the past 4 years. I mean, with Todd Monken, they've been dogging some 16 and 17 and 18-year-old kid for 3 years in high school. That's not... Todd does that. My understanding is Todd does that less than maybe the other members of the coaching staff.
We've all heard that about Monken, but Chuck, I find the timing fascinating. You know he's been on the road with Kirby. What is that? Like, is Kirby, I don't know this.
Oh, he's got maximum opportunity to look across and go, so you're talking to who?
Well, if I'm Kirby, I'm saying, hey, you want a raise?
Absolutely.
Come with me on the road, talk to these kids, and then go meet with the Bucks and the Ravens. They'll be, you know, they're bathing in money, and your offense was the reason, as important as our defense was the last 2 years. Come on the road with me.
And signing day is in 2 days. Jim Harbaugh is talking with, who do you say he talked to?
Jim Harbaugh? Oh, he talked to a couple of teams, but he already committed.
Said no to the Broncos.
Yeah. Broncos, yeah. He just acknowledged he talked to the Broncos.
If I was Todd Monken, I'd say I was talking to Staples. Like, I'm going on job interviews everywhere. Orange Julius, I'm coming in. I filled out an application. Give me a raise. I'm just going to tell you I'm meeting with everybody. Football or not, there's a gig somewhere.
Todd Monken, open for business.
I mean, no question. Couple of quick things. And BJ, would you verify this? Chuck, have you heard the Hulk Hogan distressing news?
Oh, no.
I hope the internet didn't fool me on this.
But, hang on. Last week, you were quoting mousetrapnews.com.
Oh, that dangerous, the hands that got cut off on the Space Mountain ride.
You were sourcing mousetrapnews.com.
I was sourcing my 11-year-old daughter who sent it to me.
All right, go ahead.
Right. That now, in retrospect, that probably wasn't the best idea.
Probably wasn't.
Zoe sent me an article. She's like, Daddy, take a look at this. Guy lost his hands on Space Mountain. I ran with it as my source. I will never do it. I told her again. Never again will I source
you. Okay, but now we have some potentially distressing news.
So Hulk Hogan apparently is no longer able to feel his legs after having nerves cut during a back surgery. Now, Kurt Angle is the source on this. Kurt Angle on his podcast said that he talked to Hogan, and Hogan shared this story and this news with him. They talked for about an hour, and Angle on his most recent pod shared this news. So is that, like, do I feel comfortable with this? Anybody know
any
more?
What's the context?
I guess he had surgery, like any wrestler, athlete.
Oh, was his back cut and dried?
He had back
nerve
surgery.
Nerve damage, and now I can't feel my legs.
You know about backs, but anybody's had a back surgery, I mean, it is a risk that is always there of some kind of nerve or some kind of paralysis, just anything. And BJ, have you heard, David, you're a wrestling fan. You're in for Hoyt. Have you heard anything on this?
Yeah, I did hear about it, actually. So Kurt Angle is apparently saying, because he was talking to Hulk backstage after the 30th anniversary of Raw,
right,
and he was walking around with his cane because he can't really feel much in his legs. Mm. Apparently is because he's had multiple back surgeries over the years. He's like lost an inch or something like that due to the surgery sometime. And also, it mainly comes from the fact that he just spent his entire career doing the leg drop, and that kind of does a little damage on his tailbone.
Or just falling or being slammed or any of that stuff.
Like, especially if like you're landing on your butt the entire for years on years on end.
Completely. I think I have an understanding. It's like, who was the hurdler that said she was having problems because she was losing sensation that you don't necessarily feel actually when he's hitting each step necessarily, right, and that'll knock you out. All right, I get it.
Okay, so that was one story.
That's different than no feeling, and he's in a wheelchair.
No, but it's still incredibly, I mean, it's sad.
Sure, because he's this big, giant, now older dude, with a cane.
Dana White's Power Slap show on TBS jumped by 413,000 viewers. It's about a 30% improvement over the debut. Now, the debut didn't do any numbers, but what happened since the debut, and this is the world we live in, shows like ours, other typical traditional media were playing the cuts, and YouTube blew up with all the stuff. So I would imagine it'll continue to increase, but nearly a 500,000 viewer increase from episode 1 to 2.
Power Slap League.
Have you not watched any of this?
I read about it. Here's where I found out about a month ago. I read this is the headline: Dana White's Power Slap League placed on hold following domestic assault or whatever.
Back on.
I was like, okay, I knew about the Power Slap League. I never found out what the Power Slap League is. It sounded like you could score points based on the quality of your slap.
Imagine the movie Over the Top with two guys leaning on a thing and there's a referee and you have to tell them you have three different options. You go on the first pivot with the arm, the second, or the third, and essentially have rounds. And if you knock the guy out, great. If not, you go to the score.
I want to go first. Seems like it'd be an advantage.
I mean, maybe. Some of these dudes.
There have to be first slap knockouts.
Maybe.
So this past Wednesday, a guy won the coin flip and elected to defer to take the second slap and was knocked down the first
slap. Which I imagine happens. Most of these dudes, though, they can take it enough, at least on the first slaps.
What?
See, but I think on the second slap, I think it goes in snake order. So the advantage to going second is you get back-to-back slaps. I believe second and third round. There's some strategy involved.
I think you're really overthinking this.
Okay.
I get to hit you first.
Listen.
All right. There's a chance that means I get to hit you only.
But if you take it, then I get to hit you twice.
There's a chance you're never like this is George Bailey stuff. Are you not following?
Listen to me.
Matt was never there for the second slap.
Listen to me. You're not as tough as me. You can't take the slap. I could take that first slap. I'll slap you twice, B.
Look, I've been in jail.
You have been in jail. That's a fair point. I can't file that. All right, coming up next. Today was a good day for Babe, Disney, and Wonder Woman. We'll tell you why next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Blue here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Get me on the court and I'm trouble. Last week messed around and got a triple-double. Freaking brothers like I'm MJ. I can't believe today was a good day.
That was a good day. It was a good day with Chuck and Chernoff on the Fan. Thanks for spending your Monday with us. On this day in 1920, Walter Elias Disney started working as an artist at the Kansas City Ad Company. He was making $40 a week. Now, that's not really the big story. The big story, that's where Walt decided to create his first short animated films that he called Laugh-O-Grams. These shorts were produced in Walt's garage. He continued to work at the Kansas City Film Ad Company at the same time until the spring of 1922. He would quit his job, officially file paperwork, commissioned for Laugh-O-Gram Studios. And Chuck, as they say, the rest is history. On this day in 1936, the first class of players elected into baseball's Hall of Fame were Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth, Honus Wagner, Christy Mathewson, and Walter Johnson. Seems like a decent class, and now we just put Scott Rolen in.
You know, I have struggled since
Scott Rolen and Babe Ruth are Hall of Famers.
I returned on Friday. I have struggled. Because I know that questions are really bad topics, but my topic is, what are we doing? Like, baseball Hall of Fame voters, what the hell are we doing?
You know, Jerry Seinfeld wrote his first stand-up. What are we doing? That's what you just did.
By the way,
Scott Rolen.
Remember, it's Hannes, as in it's short for Johannes.
I apologize.
He is Swedish, Johannes. Most people say as Honus. If it's Honus, like rhymes with bonus. It's Johannes.
Is this where we work on Gonzaga in Nevada?
WNBC.
Absolutely. 1964, NBC purchased the TV rights to carry the American Football League.
Boy, they won.
For $36 million over a five-year span. Give you a little contest. The last TV package, NBC paid more than $2 billion annually for the 11 years to carry Sunday Night Football. Just a little bit more.
They got the scoring league. The NFL was always the upstart league. Mm-hmm. Whether it lasts or not, the established league was boring and black and white and whatever else. Suddenly it was full color and scoring and from downtown, man.
1984, 33-year-old Linda Carter, who played Wonder Woman, married 58-year-old Robert Altman, who was an attorney and a video game executive.
Bob Altman, fist bump.
Did you know him well? This was Carter's second marriage. She was married to her talent agent named Ron Samuels for 5 years from 1977 to 82, a period which she publicly stated she was incredibly unhappy. So she leaves that marriage. She meets Bob Altman in 1984. The two left the Hollywood scene completely in 1985. They moved to Washington, where his practice was. They had two children together. Were married 37 years. See the key here, get the hell out of Hollywood before he died in 2021.
Hey, that was a good-looking adult woman is what that was.
You don't have to tell me. That changed my life.
Oh, yeah.
Wonder Woman as a 6-7-year-old. I used to wonder why I was locking myself in my room.
Like comic books again.
1984, Bill Murray filed for divorce from his wife, Margaret Kelly.
Hey, can we go back? That, like, lock your door thing wasn't subtle enough. Like, maybe a little, like...
But I wasn't doing that yet. I just didn't want to be caught by my brother watching what he considered a girl's show because I was watching Wonder Woman. Yeah, I wasn't doing that yet.
Oh, okay.
You know, I did that at 12. A lot.
Okay, not subtle enough, maybe, is what, like... Let's go back to that part. So, go ahead.
All the fear. He was like, please don't let mom walk in. Please.
Come on now. Next. Advance this.
Tell my wife now, if you don't knock on that door, you're going to get a rude awakening.
Okay? Not subtle enough. Sorry. Not.
I've moved on already. 1994, Bill Murray filed for divorce from his wife, Margaret Kelly, after 13 years of marriage. Now, Murray sounds like a peach. He married Margaret Kelly while he was filming Stripes. They would later get remarried because their families weren't in attendance, so they did it in Chicago. They had two children together. Murray cheats on her. He cheats with a woman named Jennifer Butler. So Margaret Kelly and Bill Murray divorce in 1996. He then marries this Jennifer Butler. Together they had four sons, but Butler files for divorce 11 years later in 2008, accusing Bill Murray of domestic violence, infidelity, addictions to sex, marijuana, and alcohol on her divorce papers in 08 that she filed.
You can be addicted to anything. I mean, that's...
I guess if you're going to be addicted to stuff.
I think the best part of all that is you putting the S on children.
I did. I did not mean to. But yes, that happened. I apologize. 1996, Garth Brooks took home the American... Oh, it's Brooks. Yeah, I took the S guy. Yeah, Garth Brooks took home the American Music Award for Best Male Artist. Brooks became the only artist in American music history to have 23 records, at that time 77 singles, 52 of them in the top 20 on the charts. Many of them crossovers. At that point, two Grammys, 17 American Music Awards. He won the award for best-selling solo artist of the century in the United States. He's the only artist to have released, as I said, 9 albums and achieved diamond status in the U.S., passing the Beatles, who had 6 albums reach diamond status.
A little respect, too, and I read about this later, but he had signed, I believe, a 2-appearance contract at either Mama's or Cowboys.
Oh, wow. Country Showcase, huh?
The first one was like 150 people. Then, was it No Fences?
Yeah.
No Fences is released. He honored it. He showed up for the second one.
Didn't he also...
He could have bought his way out. He's like, nope, deal's a deal.
Isn't he one of those artists who did New York in Central Park and had like 500,000 people or something? Wasn't he one of those?
Yeah. He did.
Yeah. 1998, Bobby Brown was arrested and charged with DWI in Fort Lauderdale. Now, over the course of just 3 years... He spent 65 days in a Florida prison on several violations, including a parole violation, a separate DUI in 1996. He was arrested for driving without a license at one point, speeding, marijuana possession. So he kind of checked every box. And those are the least of his transgressions.
Yeah, survivor. How did he hook Whitney? Like, what was...
Meaning what? He was a bad boy. She was.
She had every choice possible.
So they met backstage.
What was the attraction? I don't know the story.
He's a bad boy. Women like bad boys. That's why they like you, Chuck. They're backstage at a show.
But he was a really, really bad boy for like the early 90s.
Right? She liked to really be bad boy. They meet at a show. Now, her people did not like that she was, because she had that good girl image. But the word on Whitney was the image was not what Whitney was.
You know, a bad boy early 90s, like he would curse at photographers. A bad boy.
I think. PR people did a much better job of keeping stuff under wraps in those days than they do now. Now, Bobby, one of the worst moments ever, I think they sat down with maybe Barbara Walters, maybe. And she asked Bobby, do you believe in monogamy? He goes, what? What? She goes, being faithful. Yeah. I was like, okay.
Well, I've heard about that.
It's going well. 2018, the Marvel film Black Panther starring Chadwick Boseman premiered in theaters nationwide. It cost $200 million to produce the movie. That was fine because it made $1.4 billion.
And what was the brother was bad? And he had to kill the brother at the end? Or
I haven't seen any of these Marvel. That's not my bag.
I saw some of it.
The Black Panther. BJ, your thoughts on Black Panther? Does Chuck have the...
Why are you asking BJ?
I don't know, because it seems like he's a Marvel fan.
You're close, Chuck.
Means he doesn't know.
There was something at the end. Yeah, there was something at the end.
And finally,
you're fighting over vibranium. I don't want to get in the weeds on this.
Well, you're already there. And in 2022, actor Howard Hessman,
who
played Dr. Johnny Fever on WKRP in Cincinnati, died at 81 years old. Now, for those who don't know, the character Dr. Johnny Fever, taken after skinny Bobby Harper of the WQXI days here in Atlanta, as that station was modeled after WQXI.
Quixie and Dixie.
Correct. And a lot of the themes on the show were actually taken from real-life instances of the old Quixie and Dixie. Now, I don't know if the actual character, Dr. Johnny Fever, was this. I wasn't old enough to remember Skinny Bobby. I just remember as a kid he was doing some, like, B98.5 stuff. He had kind of chilled.
All I remember is when Ted brought the Braves, there was one night where Skinny Bobby Harper and Ted Turner, I think, raced bathtubs from third base and first base, like they angled towards home, I think.
What kind of bathtub?
Like a motorized bathtub. Oh.
All right. Well, then maybe Dr. Johnny Fever.
I remember that. He rode like an ostrich or something.
Okay. Skinny Bobby.
He was a wacky, zany guy at,
Howard Hespin also starred in the ABC sitcom Head of the Class for four seasons as well.
That was Robin Givens.
And now it's been 21 days since anyone around here decided they thought it was a good idea to win a championship.
This is ruined a perfectly good day when I just washed my car.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.